if you can pull out a Shmuel Beis, we're going to be doing Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Beis. We're starting from Perek Chaf Beis. This is the very, very end of Shmuel Beis. We just went through really what happened to David HaMelech at the very end of his life. And we get into a capital of Tehillim, which some would say, right, is a very strange one. And I didn't mention it before, but I do want to mention it now. This shir is going to be for a schus, for a refuah shlema, for somebody, unfortunately, who's very sick. I'm getting the name right now. It's Yitzchak Mendel. Here we go. It is Yitzchak Mendel ben Bela ben Sarah Bela. Yitzchak Mendel ben Sarah Bela. I'm actually going to put this on the bottom. Yitzchak Mendel ben Sarah Bela. Okay, and we're going to try to do this all together. Okay, everybody. We're going to start off is like this. Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Aleph. I'm going to run through it quickly. We go through a lot of psukim during this shir, so we're going to try to go through a lot. Vayidaber David Lashem es divrei hashir hazo. So Shmuel Beis, Perek Chav Beis. David HaMelech spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the words of this shir, this song, on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him, not only from the hands of his enemies, but from the hand of Sheol itself. So here's an interesting one. There's a Shiloh when this shira was made. This shira that we have over here, when he calls the words of this shira. Did he make it earlier in his life, or did he make it toward the end of his life? There's no question. It says, when he was saved from his enemies and from the hands of Sheol HaMelech. The question is, was it already made when he was in the hands of Sheol HaMelech, or did he only make it at the very end when he was saved from everybody, from his enemies, like Avshalom, his son, from those people like Sheva ben Bichri, right, the people that had chased after him before, as well as Sheol HaMelech, or was it something else entirely? That's the question that everybody asks over here. Some say, like the Abarbanel says, he wrote this in his younger years, and then later on, as he got older, he decided he was going to add on to it, and he's going to say, all right, now I'm going to add on to it and make it again and again and again. He was saved from the hands of Sheol at first, and then he added on at some point later on. We see this by other Pirkei Tehillim. For example, Perek Gimel is when he was saved from Avshalom. Perek Nun Aleph was when Nasan and Navi came to him about Bathsheba. This one is really part of Tehillim Yud Ches. Tehillim Yud Ches is almost the exact same words. Now, there are about 30 differences word-wise between Perek Yud Ches and Tehillim and this in Shmuel Beis itself, but it seems to be connected in some way from one to the other, and for that reason, we have to learn what's the difference between them. Why is this a little bit different? The Abarbanel says, everything to David HaMelech, everything in David HaMelech's life was signs of chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show him that he understood everything God does is for the best, and that's absolutely true, and it's true by all of us. Whenever there's a miracle that happens to us in our lives, we should be sitting there and we should say to ourselves, I want to do better. I want to do something better. I want to be a better person because of it. So at the end of his life, David HaMelech may have taken it and incorporated it into Tehillim. It could be that the Tehillim version is the one that he made when he was younger, and this is the one that he made at the very, very end of his life. That's the way the Abarbanel looks at it. That changes a little bit. But either way, there's no question there's a difference between this one and the one that's in Tehillim. I'm going to explain something that's a little bit obvious, but I think people should know it. The difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is a pretty obvious one. Ksuvim, by definition, was written that has to do with divine inspiration, almost like Ruach HaKodesh. When a person has a certain amount of Ruach HaKodesh, when a person has a great amount of Ruach HaKodesh, they're able to somehow apply or do something to make it happen for them where everything works in an unbelievable way. They're able to write things down that sound amazing. As opposed to Nevi'im. Anything that's in the Navi, like in Shmuel Beis, was written with pure Nevuah. Not just Ruach HaKodesh, but Nevuah. There's a massive machlokas between the Rishonim if David HaMelech was a Navi or just had Ruach HaKodesh. Everyone agrees he had Ruach HaKodesh. The Rambam in Morei Nevuchim and Perek Gimel says without a question he had Ruach HaKodesh. But did he have actual Nevuah? Was he an actual Navi? And the difference between that is a Navi, the way that a Navi works is that a Navi gets something and to give it to other people. This is a great Perek of Tehillim and there may have been some form of Ruach HaKodesh involved, but was it an actual Nevuah that he gave over to other people? That's already the bit of a kasha. That's the kasha that everybody asks. Now, there's no question there's something here. If it was a Nevuah, great. And if it wasn't, then it's something a little bit different. It's part of Ksuvim for a reason. Why Sheol HaMelech? He was put into the hands, he said, Mikaf Sheol. Why does it mention that? We should know the following. There is nothing more painful to David HaMelech than his story with Shaul. The Medrash says Jewish enemies are the worst enemies of all. Anybody who's been in a college class with an unfortunate Jewish professor who does not want to give them off for this or that or the other, everyone realizes that's the hardest thing in the world to deal with. Shaul HaMelech caused him more suffering than all of his other enemies combined. Because simply put, David HaMelech had to leave Israel because of Shaul HaMelech. David HaMelech lost a wife of his, Michal, for years because of Shaul HaMelech. David HaMelech was thrown out of the kingdom because of Shaul HaMelech. He lived a very, very difficult life because of Shaul, and he refused to fight back, refused to touch him, refused to do anything back to him. He would have defeated all of his other enemies, and he did defeat all of his other enemies, but not Shaul HaMelech, and therefore Michal Shaul was the most difficult of all to be able to take. Now, Pasuk Beis, Vayomar, he said the following, and here's his song. Hashem Sali Mitzudasu Mifalti Li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my rock. He is my fortress. And he is my rescuer. We mentioned three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to over here. He's a Sela, a Mitzuda, and a Miflat, someone to save me over here. A rock means, even when bad things happen, I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for the best. That's what it means by Sali. Mitzudasi means, my fortress means, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be making things against me, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. And Miflatli is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves me, then I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. They are connected to one another. It goes from Sela to Mitsuda to Miflat. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. Pasuk Gimel. Elokei Tzuri Echasabo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my Tzur, my rock. Tzur stands for Tzadik Viralo. When a tzaddik has bad things happen to him, Echasabo, I'm going to take refuge in him. Magini, he is my shield. The Keren Yishi, the horn of my salvation. Miskabi, my support. Minusi, my refuge. Moshi mechamas toshieni. And you, from oppression, you save me at all times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You make sure that everything's there. Everybody asks what the words Keren Yishi means. What is a horn of salvation? That Marie Kara says that it refers to the horn that you blast in triumph whenever you win a war. That's how the Marie Kara says it. And so too over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the horn that I get to call on, meaning he's won my, I can win my battles through him. The Radak says it's a metaphor for gevura. An animal normally uses its horn to fight. So too, a person is willing to use his horn to fight and show, I am willing to do anything for it. That's my imagery that you have over here. Of course, it could be that the Karen was what caused him to be king. Shaul HaMelech was only anointed with a farsenemi oil. David HaMelech was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, the actual anointing oil. That made it special, and that's why it's called Keren Yishi. It was the Keren of his salvation that allowed him to eventually become king, and unfortunately, Shaul HaMelech lost because of it. In Pasuk Dalet, it says, Muhulal Ekra Hashem. I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be praised. And therefore, from my enemies, I am saved. Meaning, I don't attribute the win that I get in a war to myself. I didn't do it. It's that I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the one who's able to save me. And when he does so, I attribute it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did it. That's why I got saved. But the Medrash Shochar Tov says it's even more than that. Medrash Shochar Tov says that by the war of Yehoshaphat, they sang the song of salvation before the battle even ended. Even in the middle of the war, they were so assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them, they sang the song of Yeshua right in the middle as if they had won the war already. That is the most amazing thing, that they fought it there. Halachically, we don't hold the way. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, in his Sefer, Reb Chaim Alashas, says that you cannot do such a thing. You cannot sing Shira until the war is over. But they did, Yehoshaphat did, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them. And that's what David HaMelech means over here. I know I'm going to be saved. Pasuk Hey. When death encompasses me and surrounds me in the torments, the mishpere mavas, the breaking of death surrounds me. Nachle v'lial yivasuni. There are rivers overflowing of wicked people that terrify me. Chevle sha'ol sabuni. The travails of Gehenim surround me. Kidmuni mokshe mavas. And the ropes of death come forth toward me and ready to destroy me, ready to take me down. But tsar li yekra Hashem, when there's pain to me, I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Pasuk Zayin. Ve'elokai yekra, I will call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayishma mihechalo koli v'shavasi ba'aznav. He heard my voice from his heichal, from his holy abode. And my cries go into his ears, they go straight there. Afafuni is interesting. Reminds you of the word ofan, as in a wheel. The pshat is that David's misfortunes were one after the other. It was like a wheel of fortune, misfortune, I really should say, where it went one after the other, one bad thing, then another bad thing, then another bad thing, because that's what David HaMelech went through. He said, this is what it was like. The Mishpray Mavis was every day of my life. When I began my life, I was chased by my brothers because they thought I was a mamzer. When I was made king, Shaul HaMelech chased me around and tried to destroy me. After that, I see all the things that happened to me after that, with all the people that came up against me, not just the enemies from outside of Eretz, the Plishtim and Ammon and Moab and Edom and Aram Sova and all those people, but even the people that were outside of Eretz Yisrael, it seems like each one of them had something that they were dealing with. This seems to be the idea that we're saying over here. It's almost as if the torment had reached up to the top and there was nothing good that was happening. Belial always refers to the people that are Belial. They have no yoke of heaven. They don't believe in anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will do anything to go whatever they want to do, and they don't care about anything whatsoever. Even in those times, says David HaMelech, where it felt like Mokshe Mavis Vavuni, all the worst things in the world were around me, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I call out to you and I ask you for help. Pasuk Ches, Vayis Goash, the earth quaked, Vatirish Aris, and the world trembled. Most of the Shemaim, your Gaza Vayis Goash, Kicharlo, the foundations of the heaven shook, they trembled because HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. There's an unbelievable line in Tana Debe Eliyahu. Tana Debe Eliyahu, Eliyahu Anavi asked Rabbi Nuroi, why are there earthquakes? Now, this is similar to a Gemara in Brachos that we did in Daf Yomi not too long ago. But he asked Rabbi Nuroi, why are there earthquakes? And he answered, because people don't take miser off of their produce. Now, again, for us, that would be on our money, but they don't take miser off. By your life, Eliyahu exclaimed. That's the explanation? No. The main reason for the roaring of the earth is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. When he looks at the world, and I'm quoting Tana Debe Eliyahu, okay? Before I go on, I'm quoting Tana Debe Eliyahu. And he sees theaters and museums, sports and entertainment centers. He sees the nations of the earth dwelling in pomp and complacency, I'm translating, all while his Beis HaMikdash remains in ruins. For that alone, he's ready to destroy the world. For that alone. So the earthquakes that are happening in the world is when he sees what people are able to do, and they do that instead of this. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and that's when the earthquakes come. And I realize that sounds strange. Baruch Hashem, we are now living at a time when there are no theaters open, and there are no sports places open, there are no circuses open. It's all gone. We are living in a very strange but special time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not be angry at us anymore. And I realized there was an earthquake today. Probably there were still a few places that were open in that place. But this is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves, according to Eliyahu HaNavi, and therefore he causes those quakes, ki charalo, because he's angry. And Eliyahu HaNavi learned from this pasuk, that's why it happens. An unbelievable line over here. Pasuk Tes. Allah Oshem Bapo. Smoke goes into his nostrils. Ve'esh mipiv tochel gecholim ba'aru mimenu. And fire comes out of his mouth. From him, coals stream forth. It's as if the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes fire to be breathed like a dragon. He bowed the heavens. He came down. Thick darkness under his feet. He allowed things to happen. And in this line, we're talking about what happened in Sodom and Amora, Adma, Tzvoyim. Not in Tzor. Tzor was saved. But the destruction from above. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has descended is that it happens through him. Not through an angel. Not through a Malach HaMashchis. But rather through him. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes down and to see what's happening over here so that there's swift and total destruction. It's almost as if not giving them a chance to do tshuva. Because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes down when there is that anger and there is no Erech Apayim. At some point, there's a point where the Erech Apayim is gone. There is no length in anger and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just sits there and destroys. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayir Kalaval Kru Vayov, he rode on a cherub as if to say on top of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Merkava that's ridden on top of Kruvim. Vayov, and he flies down. Vayera Al Kamfei Ruach, he's seen on the wing of the wind itself. This is an unbelievable line. There's a mashal given by the Miam Loes. Men came and they kidnapped the prince. The king's servants began preparing the royal coach so he can chase after them and rescue his son. But the king said, no. If I wait until you ready my coach and hitch it to the horses, the kidnappers will be long gone. I don't want my coach. Instead, the king mounted a horse and immediately went after them with a bunch of people coming with him. Metaphorically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took one of the Kruvim and rode on it, knowing, wasting no time when the anger had to be. Now, Chas V'Shalom, this should never be against us. Chas v'shalom, it should never be against us. It should be against our enemies. That when our enemies deserve to be punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not wait. He runs to capture the kidnappers, those who take his children. He runs down, as if to say, to try to get them. There is darkness around him at this time. Sukos chashras mayim, a coagulation of darkened waters. Avei shchakim, the clouds of the heavens itself. So strong is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger at the enemies, the hail, the coals of fire that come out of his mouth become, it's almost like they go through the water and destroy completely. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, he does it with the help of natural phenomenon. It doesn't have to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself destroying like by Yetzias Mitzrayim. It could be happening in any other way. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Minoga, from the brightness, negdo, that is opposite him, bar gachaleish, there are flamed coals of fire. There are coals of fire that go down. Some say that this pasuk specifically is referring to the times of Mashiach. That in Yemos of Mashiach, when our enemies have to be destroyed, immediately comes down these massive, massive, big things of fire, which I guess we would know of as nuclear weapons in some way, shape, or form. And it goes down until it's burning throughout the world. Yaram Yishmaim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered down from heaven, Ve'el Yonitil Kolo, and the upper spheres will give forth their noise like the thunder and the lightning, etc. Vayishlachitzim v'yifitzim, Baruch, he sends forth arrows, that's the lightning, and he scatters his lightning, Vayahom, and it confounds everybody. Everyone is scared out of their mind. That's how the word Dak and the Marikara translate that pasuk. Vayiroa fi, and then they're seen, the channels of the sea. Chazal learned from over here that La'asid Lavo, when we have our final Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make another Kriyas Yamsuf. There will be another Kriyas Yamsuf where the Yamsuf itself, not just the Yamsuf, but the whole Atlantic Ocean is going to split, and the people are going to walk through the ocean the same way we walk through Kriyas Yamsuf. It'll come through Vayero'u Afike Yam. The depths of the sea will be revealed. Yigalu Mostos Tevel. Even the land itself is going to be laid bare. Megar from the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the destruction that's right over there. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be seen, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow everything to be seen. In a positive way, it could be that this is a reference to the science that we have today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right before he wants to reveal himself, could be that he allows us to see what's happening in the depths of the earth. Now, it's amazing, but we all know this from National Geographic, the stuff that they've done, and BBC, the one good thing that BBC does, you know, the nature videos, they can show you what's going on in the bottom of the sea. It's as if it's split. There was no way they could even imagine doing something like that 100 years ago, but now they have all these abilities to see down into the bottom of the sea and see into the ends of the earth. Maybe that's what it's referring to. Instead of a punishment, it's almost like a bracha that right before Mashiach comes, we'll be able to see the awesomest stuff in the world, to see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world itself. Then it says, and all of this is a reference to the miracles that are going on over here. Yishlach mirom yikacheni yamshini mimayim rabim. And David HaMelech is speaking now on Pasuk Yud Zayin. He sends from the heavens. He takes me. He helps me from all those many waters, the abundant waters. Yatzilini mivai. He saves me from those enemies, us, that were very strong. Mison I, ki kamsi mimani. Those strong power, the enemies that were there, he took care of me. Now again, who are the ultimate enemies? Either it's referring to Shaul HaMelech, or it refers to the seven Canaan nations that he had to fight when he was inside Eretz Yisrael, or it's referring to Doego Adomi, his mortal enemy who kept saying anything, or it refers to Achitophel. Of course, the Alshech says it refers to Lot and his daughters as they're running out of Sodom. Yikadmuni biomedi. They confronted me on the day that they were trying to destroy me. Vayesham Yishanli, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took care of me. And that can refer to Doeg Achitofel, or the Zifim that were trying to get him when he was running away from Shaul HaMelech. And Pasuk Chaf, Vayotzi l'merchavosi, he brought me out into the broad place. Yachotzini kichavetbi, he released me because he delighted in me. He loved me. B is the gematria of 12. For the 12 shvatim that he gave me everything that I needed to make sure that I have everything that I need. Chafet B is the gematria of 190. The same as Kates. Maybe it's referring to the Kates Mashiach. Maybe it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us 190 years early from Mitzrayim. 400 years minus 210 is 190. Maybe that's it. Pasuk Chav Aleph. Yigmelein Hashem Kitzid Kasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid me back according to my righteousness. Kevor Yadai, like the cleanliness of my hands. Yashiv Li, he repaid me. He gave me back everything I needed, and I didn't have to worry about anything from that point on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the tefillos that are going to be there. Now, there is something awesome over here. There are six qualities that David HaMelech talks about himself, and it's not considered gaiva. This shows the anivus of David HaMelech. He knew who he was. And these six qualities that he had allowed him to be saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he said, I am being saved. Number one, I have tzidkus. I restrained myself from killing Shaul HaMelech when I had the chance to in the cave. I was able to speak to Malachim and wake up early when all the other kings slept in late. That's number one. Number two, I never took a bribe. No one ever gave me something. I worked according to the integrity of my hands, and I always took whatever I deserved, not anything more than that. Number three, Ki Shamarti Rach Hashem, I keep the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I made sure to act in a godly manner, in any which way with Rachamim, V'lo Rashatim Elohai. And I never acted like an evil person in matters of belief, in matters of anything that happened to me. I never was a Rasha. I did everything I was supposed to do. The fifth virtue was his devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos and all the chukim. Always before me, I did every mitzvah that I had a possibility, and I never turned away from him. And number six, I was perfect to him. I acted with perfection, and I never acted like a Rasha. The Imre Emes says a great thing, the Sfas Emes' son, the third Gerer Rebbe, or the second Gerer Rebbe, the Kutzker's grandson. He says, the Yetzer Hara always tries to get you in the thing that is your actual tikkun. If you find yourself weak in a certain area of your life, that, right there, that is exactly what's going to send you to Gan Eden if you work on it. If you find yourself somebody who cannot wake up for chakras, the reason why, says the Imre Emes, is because the Satan knows your tikkun in this world, what you're supposed to do is wake up early for chakras. And if you don't wake up early for chakras, you're giving in to the Yetzer Hara, which is trying to get you in the one thing he knows, one thing he knows he can get you at. That's what you have to work on. It's everything that you see as a weakness of yourself that's actually your greatest strength, that is the tikkun that you can make for the entire world. That's how the Imre Emes puts it, and he puts it from right over here. I will stay away from those things that are averos to me. That's going to stay away from. Pasuk Chaf Hey. Vayashav Hashem li kitzikasi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return me according to my righteousness, kivodi, kivori lenegen enav, according to my integrity, in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. With a chassid, you act with chassidus. And with a strong, perfect person, you act that way as well. If people are perfect toward you, like Avram Avinu, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like me, said David HaMelech. If there's tmimus, then you'll act with tmimus. There's going to be extra siyata d'shmaya, extra great things that are going to happen. There's simplicity that's added onto right over here. That's what's going to happen. And those who don't, as we'll say in a second, im navar titavar, with the upright, the clear, you act clearly. Beim ikesh titapol. With those who are crooked, you knock them down, you destroy them, you act crookedly to try to destroy them. For example, ikesh, ayin kupshin, is the gematria of Melech Mitzrayim. The reason why is because, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to take us out of Mitzrayim, because they tricked us into being slaves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing back to him. Well, it'll be there for 3 years. It was the exact same idea. That's exactly what happened over here. The Ralbag says, although there were issues that David HaMelech had to deal with, like Batsheva and Uriachiti and those things that were there, he worked to try to act in the best way from that point on. And even though there were issues with how he acted, he worked on it. He tried to make himself better. That's what he tried working on. He tried to make himself into a better person based on that. Pasuk Chaf Ches, Ves Am Ani Toshia. You saved the downtrodden people. Ve'necha al ramim tashpil. Your eyes were upon the high. You brought them down low. Those people acted with gaiva. You knocked them down. Ki ata neri Hashem, because you are my light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem yagia chashki. And Pasuk Chaf Tes, Hashem, you lit up all of my darkness. Listen to this. The Sichos Kodesh says, whenever you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name of Yudke Vavke, and there's an added letter to it. For example here, Vahashem Yagia Choshki, the Vav intensifies the effect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name has there. It seems, it's almost like it provides light and illuminates within the darkness. And that's Vahashem Yagia Choshki. The extra Vav adds on a different dimension to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to allow for something absolutely amazing to happen. It's absolutely over here. Now, I will tell you, the word over here is, you became my lamp. David HaMelech thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for two situations in which almost all of his children were destroyed. Everybody knows from the Navi what happened with Asalia, the evil queen, who tried to destroy every one of David's descendants, and only one remained, Yoash. Yoash was saved. He was spared by the Kohen Gadol and brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be saved right around there by one of the chambers right around there, said he could live, and at the age of 7 became the new king of Klal Yisrael. He was the only descendant of David HaMelech that remained. And later on, by the times of about 600 of the Common Era, Bustanoi, the famous story Bustanoi, which deals with the garden, etc., right? Bustanoi was the only remaining Davidic line ruler that the Persians tried to destroy completely. He survived, so he's referring to that in this pasuk. Pasuk Lamed, Kivacha Arutz Gedud. For you, I will destroy a troop. Elokaya Dalek Shor. For God, I'll leap over a wall. I'll do anything. If the enemy would take refuge behind a wall, I'll jump over for it. Ha'el Tamim Darko. Because God, everything He does is perfect. Imrasam Surufa. The words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are refined. You need to get rid of impurities, says the Gra, in order to learn Torah properly. The words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are refined. Magin Hula Kol HaChosim Bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Magin. He's a shield for all those who try to take refuge in Him. He's there for everybody. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Kimi Kel. Who else would be God aside from you, Hashem? Mitzur Baladei Elokeinu. Who else could somebody attribute great things to even when bad things happen aside from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could that be? Ha'el Me'uzi Chayil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gird me with strength by Yatzer Tumim Darki, and you facilitate the perfection of everything I do. Mishava Raglai, you straighten my feet. Ka'ayalos, like the deer who have very dainty feet and they walk in such a way. And you stood me up upon the heights of everywhere. Meaning, wherever I needed to go, you always took me. Says the pasuk in Lamed He, Melamed Yadayin L'Mochama, you taught my hand how to fight wars. The Nichas Kashas Nechushas Rosai, and you gave me the ability to use a copper bow. You should know, most bows are made of wood, and the reason why is because it needs to be supple. Copper bows, if you hold it and you're trying to pull it back, it's very difficult if it's metal or copper, because it's very hard to be able to pull it back and to be able to actually aim and shoot your arrow with that type of thing. So most arrows are with supple types of wood. That's the normal way of doing it because you can pull it back and everything like that. Iron or metal is a very difficult thing to have, especially back then when the bows were made of a different way. There were steel bows that were hanging in the Tower of David Melech, in Migdal David. He had a ton of steel bows. When the other kings would come by, they would see these steel bows, and they would wonder, who in the world is this guy? This guy really has it? Other people, the kings would say, that's garbage. David can never use them. They're just there for show. He's trying to scare us, but he can't really use them. David HaMelech would then take down a steel bow and pull it until it broke in half. That's how strong he was. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me a strength that normal people don't have. Like Shimshon HaGibor, you gave me an ability to do things. Remember when he was a shepherd, he told Shaul HaMelech, I destroyed bears and lions. I destroyed bears and lions. Bears and lions tried to defeat me in the field. And I destroyed them. I took them down. That's how awesome it is. David HaMelech, after hearing this, went ahead and showed them, no. I have a different type of strength. And he attributed that straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some say that the word Nechusha Zerosai is a reference to Nachshon Ben Aminadav, his ancestor who went through the Yamsuf. Vatitinli Magin Yishecha, you have given me the shield of your salvation. The Skol and Rebbe says that Kadosh Baruch Hu shields us with strength to survive. Vanoscha Sarbeni, in your humility, you increased for me, you allowed me to be humble. Tarkit Sadi, you widened my steps. Tachteni underneath, Veloma Adu Karsulai, my feet never slipped. And over here, Karsulai could be my whole leg, everything, but you never let me slip. Now, this is huge as well. Think about fighting a battle on uneven ground. And you're fighting in all these battles. You know how many people must have broken their legs just by running? Think about it. How many people must have broken their legs as they were running to go fight a battle? And David HaMelech said, not only, you showed me where to run. You showed me which was the best place to run. It's almost as if to say, when fighting a battle, war, anything like that, just being able to walk is a challenge. Being able to swing your sword 10 times without getting tired is a challenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you allowed me to do everything correctly. You kept my feet from slipping, which is absolutely huge. And Pasuk Lamed Ches, Irdavoy, I chased after my enemies, Vashmi Dim, and I destroyed the Loshua Kolosim, and I didn't return until they were completely consumed. And Pasuk Lamed Tes, Vachaleim, I consumed them, the Emchatzeim, and I pounded them, Vilayikumun, they couldn't get up, I blew Tachas Vakloy, and they fell under my feet. But Tazreini Chayel Mochama, you gave me strength to wage war. Tachriya Kamai Tachteini, you knocked down my enemies below me. Voivai, Tata Liorif, my enemies, you turned their necks backward. Misanai, my enemies, Vatmi Same, I was able to suppress them, was able to knock them down, look what you did. The Ibn Ezra says, I had strength to handle, like we said, to be able to swing the sword 10 times is a challenge. To kill people? You think you're going to be able to kill 10 people? I know we think of these movies and we think a guy goes into battle and kills 100 people all at once. It's impossible. You wouldn't have the arm strength. Try just lifting your hand in the air and leaving it there for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Just leave it there for 2 minutes and see if you can do it. And then afterward, take a sword, swing it. These big swords that were made of metal. They didn't have thin metal back then. These big metal swords. And try swinging it 20 times. You know, it's like carrying a 10-pound weight and just going again and again and again. Sure, there were people that were able to do it, but most people couldn't do it. That's the idea behind what he was thinking for Hashem for. Mem Beis, Yishuv Emoshiah, Al Hashem Lo Anam. They turned, but there was no savior for them because I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to answer them. The Eshchakim Ka'afar Aretz. I ground them down into the dust of the land. Kidit Tit Chutzos, like the mud of the street. Adi Kem Arka'im. I trampled them and I ground them down into the ground itself. This is the idea. Their tefillah was not like my tefillah, said David Melech. I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I davened to Hashem and made sure that everything went straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're davening mindlessly. They're not even thinking about what they're davening. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to me. The Radak says, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not listen to the tefillahs of men? When they speak, when they do tefillah insincerely. If their tefillah is insincere, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not listen. Everything else HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to. We actually say it every single day. Karov Hashem l'chol karov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to anybody who calls out to him. L'chol asher yikuruhu ve'emes. As long as you call out and you mean it. You mean it, then you'll get it. That's Karov Hashem l'chol karov. That's the sincere prayers. That's how the Radak puts it. Pasuk Mem Dalet. Vatzfalteni mirivei ami. You rescue me from the disputes, the fights of my people. Tishmeni v'losh goyim. You get me to be the head of the nations. Am lo yadati abduni. Of people that I didn't know, they now serve me. I was able to take care of all of them, and everything worked out well with all of this. David HaMelech also served on Sanhedrin. He said, there were people around me that I didn't trust, and I wasn't the majority. I'd have two people that are going to say one din, and I think the din is a different way. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you allow me to understand why this is happening. B'nei Nechor, the non-Jews, the strangers, it's kachashali, they lie to me. They're scared out of their minds when they meet me, so they lie. They say, no, we didn't mean it that way. We did something else. Out of fear, they denied having rebelled against Lishma Oizani Shamuli, when they hear that which caused them to obey to me. Just hearing my footsteps caused them to be afraid. B'nei Nechor, Yibolu, B'yakum Yiskarosam, strangers, they're worn out, they stumble. Because out of their fortresses, because they're afraid that I'm going to knock down their fortresses. That's how it goes through. That's how the Targum explains it. Chai Hashem Baruch Tzuri, it says, Pasuk Mem Zayin, Chai Hashem Baruch Tzuri, God lives. My rock should be blessed. V'yorma lohei tzur yishi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted. He is the rock of my salvation. El nosin nekamos li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He gives vengeance to me. Morid amim tachteni, and He puts down the nations down below me. He takes me out from my enemies, from those who come up against me, He exalts me, and You save me from all those people, the men of violence that are over here. Jonas Ben Uziel says this refers to the war of Gog and Magog, that when Gog comes with the nation of Magog at the end of times, they're going to get up. They are the Ish Hamasim, the men of Hamasim that come up against the men of violence. And yeah, I know the connection to Hamas. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save David, Mashiach, and allow him to be there. And Pasuk Nun, Al Kein Odcha Hashem Bagayim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to praise you among the other nations. I'm not going to be embarrassed of talking about you among the other nations. L'shimcha Zamer, I will sing your praise in front of them. And Pasuk Mem Aleph, in the famous end Pasuk, Magdil Migdol, Yeshua's Malko. It's read as Magdil. It's written as Magdil. But we read it. Written as Magdil. It's read as Migdol. Yeshua's Malko, the salvation of the king, is a tower. But Oseh Chetzalim Shichon, He does Chesed for His anointed one, for David, me, and for Mashiach. Le David El Zahar Alam, for David and his children, forever and ever. This is probably the most famous Ksiv Kri in all of Tanakh. And the reason why is simply put, because we do it in Benching. And we have Magdil during the week and Migdol on Shabbos. I've always said, the sign that you're a tzaddik is if you make a mistake on Shabbos and you say Magdil instead of Migdol. If you do Magdil instead of Migdol on Shabbos, you're a tzaddik. Most people make the mistake. They say Migdol during the week. I don't know why. Maybe they're only benching on Shabbos. But it happens to me. That's the famous mistake. But if you do that. Now, when do you say Migdol? You say Migdol not only on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov. And any day where there's Musaf. So you'd say it on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh. All those days you would do Migdol because you have Rosh Chodesh, you have something like that. If you don't have Tachnun, then you say Shir HaMalos. But you would do Magdil on those days, on the days you don't have Tachnun, right? Like Tu B'Shvat or let's say Chanukah. You would do Magdil during those days. Why is it Magdil versus Migdol? Why is it one after the other over here? So the line is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's Magdil Yeshua's Malko becomes David HaMelech thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the multiple salvations that He's given me in the past. But Migdol means he sees God now as a tower that protected him all the way through. There was never a chance for those bad things to happen. So again, Magdil is, I saw multiple things happen. It's amazing. Migdol is toward the end. So one could say that originally, when he first wrote this Tehillim, originally when he was saved from the hands of Shaul, he said, Magdil Yeshuas Malko. I've seen so many great things. But at the end of his life, after he survived not just Shaul, but then again, all the travails that happened in his life, then it's Migdol Yeshuas Malko. He said, therefore, it's Migdol. For this reason, Migdol is used on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when it's a higher level, so to speak. Something at the height of his greatness that he wrote toward the end. Magdil is written before. And if this is true, then we now have an explanation as to what it means, the difference between Tehillim and Shmuel Beis. Tehillim, it says Magdil, and it's read as Magdil. Magdil Yeshuas Malko. In Shmuel Beis, it's Migdol, and we read it as Migdol, right? The difference is, Shmuel Beis is Nevuah. This was Nevuah. Tehillim is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is awesome, but it's a lower level. So it's only Magdil. I see greatness, but that's all I see. The idea of a Nevuah, it goes one higher up. It's a Migdol Yeshuas Malko. I see it as a tower. I see it as awesomeness over here. That's the idea. It's going to not just multiply with time. It becomes a tower for me, a mighty tower. Some say it refers to Magdil for David and Migdol for Mashiach. That by Migdol, by the times of Mashiach, it's going to be the way. Either way, you have an amazing answer as to what happens over here. Now, we have 6 minutes left in this year. It's 9:09. We're going until 9:15. I want to start off Perek Chaf Gimel. I want to start off Perek Chaf Gimel. So Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, says another line. The Eile Divrei David Ho'acharonim. These are the last words of David HaMelech. Ne'um David ben Yishai, says David ben Yishai, Ne'um HaGever Hu Kamal, says the man who was established upon all the others. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, the anointed one of the God of Yaakov, Une'im Zemiros Yisrael, and the one who sang the songs of Israel. Rashi and Targum say, Rashi and Targum, because remember, Rashi is the one that says that David HaMelech was a Navi. He was absolutely a Navi, not just Ruach HaKodesh. He was a Navi, not like the Radak, not like the Rambam, but he was absolutely a Navi. He says, this was the last of the Nevuos of David HaMelech. This wasn't just Stam, his words, the last words of the people. It was absolute Nevuah. The Radak says he no longer had Ruach HaKodesh. He no longer had Ruach HaKodesh. He lost his Ruach HaKodesh toward the end of his life. And that starts the next Melachim Aleph, in which we see that he's cold. He didn't have something. It's as if he lost his will to live. Something was gone. So that's that. Tehillim is composed of three different parts. The first part of Tehillim is when David HaMelech talks about himself, the utterances of David HaMelech. There are other Tehillim that he did to commemorate events that happened after he was anointed, whether as an escapee or a king, etc. And finally, it was for the rest of the Jewish people. There are certain Tehillims that have nothing to do with him. They have to do with other people that goes through. Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael is, if you need to get a chazan, the best thing is to grab a chazan who has a sweet voice. Ne'im, as in Noam, the sweetness of Zmiros Yisrael, that's the best thing to do. Hukam Al, he was established upon everything else. Some say it's Hukam Ol. He accepted upon himself the Ol Malchus Shamayim and Ol Mitzvos, the yoke of heaven and the yoke of Mitzvos, or the yoke of Tshuva. He took it upon himself and he became that, and therefore he's Hukam Al. He was the one who made all of that altogether. Others say Hukam Al is a reference to 100 brachos. When there was a hunger in the land, and he saw there were many people dying, David HaMelech, says the Gemara, established 100 brachos a day. And we still do this. 100 brachos a day that everybody has to say, and if you say these 100 brachos, the famines will stop. The famines will cease completely. Hukam Al Ayin Lamed is the gematria of 100. He was the one who established 100 brachos to make sure good things would happen. That's the idea behind it. Some say, the Radak says, Hukam Al is really a reference to Tehillim, that he established Tehillim, and he put that together, and that's what it means, Hukam Al. He made the greatest thing in the world. We say Tehillim every single day in our Pesukei de Zimra, and that's what it refers to. Okay, and that's that. We have David HaMelech embodying what it means to have physical and spiritual perfection. Pasuk Beis, Ruach Hashem Dibur Bi, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke through me, Umi Lasu Alashoni, his word was on my tongue. Meaning, whether you consider that Nevuah, the way Rashi understands it, or Ruach HaKodesh, the way the Radak and the Rambam understand it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put words into David HaMelech's mouth, whether it was direct, indirect, or maybe he just said, look, I had siyata d'shmaya, whatever you're going to call it, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put words in his mouth. And Pasuk Gimel, Omar Elokei Yisrael Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Diber Tzur Yisrael, says the Rock of Israel, and again, either it's through him directly, that's Rashi, or through Shmuel, or Nasan Anabi, or Gada Chayze, that's the Radak, Moshe Ba'adam Tzadik, a man, right, to rule over man, you need to be righteous. Moshe Yiras Elokim, and such a Tzadik, he will rule over all those who fear God, and even over Yiras Elokim itself. Yonatan Raziel says, refers to Mashiach. The first prerequisite for Mashiach is that he must be a Yirei Hashem. He has to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to somehow fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every way possible. But number two, and there's a big one over here, the second line that comes from here is a famous Maimar Chazal. The Maimar Chazal is, Mi Moshe Bi, who's going to rule over me? Who's going to take care? Who's going to be in charge of me? A Tzadik, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I make a Gzera, Tzadik Gozer V'Hashem Akayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to supersede anything, right? Whatever he says, through the word of a Tzadik. A Tzadik can get up and say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want it, and Hashem will give in. That was the power of the Baal Shem Tov. That's the power of all great tzaddikim. They can say things and make it happen. Make it happen right there. And that's the wine. The wording is, Tzadik Moshe Yiras Elokim. A Tzadik will be Moshe, even over Yiras Elokim, even over the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will be able to make anything happen inside the world itself, which is absolutely amazing, and everything that happened. Okay, we're going to stop right here, guys. We're starting with Pasuk Dalet next week, Perichov Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Shkaich, everybody, for coming. It's amazing to have everybody, and I hope we get to eventually do this live next time. Have a great rest of the week.